Good evening, everyone, or good day. Welcome to today's webcast. Here we are once again. So, Barry, how are you, my friend?
I am not bad for an old guy, somebody in his 60s just trying to, you know, make every day is living. New and exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, good. So, Barry, I understand yesterday morning you got up very early at about 3 o'clock or 3:30 and you spent the next 13 hours doing something.
Yeah.
Would you like to share with the class what you were doing for those 13 hours?
I think, you know, because of course you and I have a 5 hour time difference, you being 5 hours ahead. And I think we started a conversation at 4 a.m. my time?
Yeah. It was just after 9 o'clock. I was here at my desk with my first cup of coffee. And I could see that Barry was awake because he was already posting on Facebook and his little icon was had a green dot by it. So I sent him a message saying, for goodness sake, matey, what are you doing up at this time? And he replied and told me.
Yeah. Well,
Sue Dork says you're a spring chicken, by the way, Barry. I know you can't see the comments. But...
yeah. Well, bless you, Sue. I owe you a coffee for that comment. Thank you. Yeah, I was working on an audio book. It was kind of the finishing touches for the Father's Love Letter devotional book that I think it was 2002. We wrote it and then I just got the rights back last year, the publishing rights, because it was owned by different publishers up until now. And yeah, just there was a few weeks ago, you know, a lady emailed me and just said, would you ever consider making that book an audio book? And of course, I hadn't even thought of it. But when she mentioned it, then that started the journey. And so I talked a lot to Mark about it, and then ended up getting a narrator for the book and da 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 da. So yesterday was the culmination. I've created a video version of it. So it's on YouTube if anybody wants to take a look at it. But I had to actually, before I had to put it in the YouTube, because there's all these little chapters, I had to create 60 different videos. So hence, you know, I was up at 3 a.m. not because I set my alarm, but because I'm getting older and, you know, I couldn't sleep. And by 3:30, I was in full production mode and then talked to Mark. And then by last night, I had it uploaded to YouTube. So that's what I was doing.
Now, you know what you've just done, don't you, Barry? You've just said, I had an email from somebody and it made me do this. And
I know.
Just said this to a worldwide audience. So you could be getting emails from people all over the world saying, Barry.
Yeah.
And then you'll be having many more days getting up at 3 o'clock.
Yes. And there have been. And of course, we can't do that for everybody. But, at the beginning of the Father's Love Letter, you know, ministry, when we started sharing this, the Lord had said, do it for the one. And it was just, you know, that was before it went global and, you know, went kind of crazy. And you know, that has been something that has guided us. And so oftentimes when we have done projects, and again, not everybody around the world, I can do custom projects. But, you know, when this person said it, I thought, well, okay, let's, you know, take one step at a time to find out if it's feasible. And yeah, so it ended up, and I'm really happy. I found a narrator, a believer who, I mean, when you listen to the book narrated, to me, it's a very warm conversational style. It's not, you know, like the TV announcer or anything like that. And just his heart is in it. He gets this revelation. And so I was thrilled, that he was able to do that.
So you put it on YouTube, obviously. It's linked to YouTube from your Facebook pages.
Yes, sir.
And is it on your website?
It's on our fatherslovelletter.com from the main page. Yeah, you can get to there. And I do have an audio version of it. And it's pretty big. The files, you know, as Mark knows, he had a bit of a difficult time, thanks to my hosting service, to get it to his computer, because it's over an hour and a half. But I do have the audio file that we are trying to figure out kind of the best way to actually get it into like audiobook apps and so people can access it. But, you know, we're wanting to do it for free, right? We're not selling it. So we're trying to figure that one out.
So you could, of course, shrink the file.
I shrink it?
Yeah.
Magically or
Yeah,
how?
well, digitally. Would you like me to
Just kind of
shrink it?
wave my wand and.
Would you like me to shrink it for you and send it back to you?
Well, you mean to make the quality less? Is that what you're
Yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we could do that as well. And
Okay.
I may try that, actually. Well, we'll talk. Your
We'll
people will
talk.
talk to
We'll
my people.
get out. We'll
Yeah.
get our offices talking. You know,
Yeah.
you can see what, this is what us two guys spend our time doing. You know, Fiona and Anne are busy doing all the housework and all the stuff they get on with, and we're just chatting all day long about digital fun and projects and the latest video and the latest website and the latest gizmo that we've discovered. So we have a lot of fun, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Boys and their toys, that's for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. So anyway, we're here. We've got a webcast to do, Barry. So do you want to just pray for us and then I'll crack on with it?
Absolutely, yeah, Mark. I'm looking forward to what Mark's talking about tonight, and it's a fairly new topic, right? The way you're not necessarily the content, but the way you're sharing it, right?
Yeah,
If I
it's as
understand
old as the hills, but it's a fairly new presentation of it.
perspective,
Yeah, perspective. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
So, Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from your love that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as Mark shares about things that may hinder us, and we know, Father, that your love is greater than our weakness and our belief. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful because you cannot disown yourself. And we just know that. And we just pray, Father, that our hearts would be open tonight, our ears would be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Father, I just pray a blessing in Mark to share what's on his heart. And we know that his heart is linked with your heart. So we just thank you for that. And we pray a blessing on this time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll see you
All
a bit
right,
later
mate, I'll
on.
see you in a bit.
So, yeah, welcome everyone. I want to talk this evening about hindrances to receiving love. Now, the trouble is, I'm going to mention a number of hindrances, and all of these we could spend a lot of time on. And we haven't got a lot of time to spend on each of them. So it's kind of a whistle-stop tour through a number of hindrances to us receiving the Father's love. Now, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to listen to this and to go under condemnation. I don't want you to listen and think, oh, well, no, that's another hindrance in my life. Oh, you know, and by the end of the evening, you're feeling thoroughly condemned because that's not the point of what I want to do. Equally, I'm fully aware that we're just kind of scratching the surface of some of these. And some of the, as I talk about some of these hindrances, it may be something you identify in your own life, in your own journey. And you know that in the rest of this session, you're not going to be able to get through it. And all I simply ask you to do and encourage you to do is just turn your heart to the Father and ask Him to deal with this blockage in due course. The thing about hindrances is that sometimes we don't recognize them as hindrances until somebody points them out to us. You know, we can jog along merrily with this blockage in our life. We don't really know it's there, but we know there's something not quite right. And then someone puts their finger on it for us and we say, ah, that's what it's like. And maybe tonight's going to be a little bit like that. It's maybe the light is going to go on and you kind of say, I wondered why, you know, I always wondered why I couldn't get through, and now I know what it is. And what I also want to do is try and give us a few simple steps to help overcome the hindrances. It's not a sort of, you know, it's not a full package. It's really just kind of like trying to raise some things, but give us some keys to help us overcome them. Because at the end of the day, the Father wants us to be free. And that's the whole point of getting rid of hindrances, is that we are free and we find that place of freedom. So the first hindrance to receiving love is we look in the wrong place. See, we were made, all of us, each one of us was created to be loved. But sometimes we're not able to find that love. Sometimes we're not able to experience it for various different reasons. And I'll look at some of those in a few minutes. But because we don't experience love, we start looking for it in what I call false comforts. You know, maybe wrong relationships, possessions, behavior patterns, work, family, you know, and some of these things are not wrong, they're not bad, but if we look at them to give us our identity, then they become a hindrance to us receiving the Father's love. The problem with false comforts is they're like medicine. They work for a while, and then the effect runs out like medicine. You take it, it lasts a few hours, and then you have to take more. And that's the thing with false comforts. They last for a while. They satisfy for a while. But then we have to go back to them for more. See, we want to be noticed. We want to be noticed, we try to achieve or to earn love rather than receiving it as a gift. And I think this is a challenge for many, many of us. And for me, if you like, the step away from looking in the wrong place is just to turn our heart to the Father and constantly ask him to pour his love into our hearts. Romans 5:5 says he pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And the problem is, I think we spend so long looking at the wrong places. We look at the false comforts. We look at the source that doesn't satisfy, rather than turning our gaze to the Father. And so my encouragement, you know, if you know that this is resonating in your heart, is rather than to look at the false comforts, is to turn your heart and say, Father, will you pour your comforting love into my heart? Will you enable me to experience the experience of being loved by you? And I just believe as we come simply and regularly to him and say, Father, will you pour your love into my heart right now? You know, I believe he does that. I believe that's a prayer he answers. He loves to answer. You know, Father, here I am. Will you pour your love into my heart? And so if you're looking, if you know that you're looking for love in the wrong place, maybe you didn't even know you were looking in the wrong place until I just mentioned it. I just encourage you to turn your heart and say, Father, here I am. I want to be loved by you. You see, one of the reasons we look for love in the wrong place is because our parents weren't able to give us the love we needed. And this is my second hindrance, the role our parents play. And those of you, you know, who've been on the webcast many times, we've listened to Barry talk on this. You know, it's something that he's unpacked in a lot of detail. And if you need to explore this more, go to our websites and look for the archive video of it. But see, none of our parents received perfect love. They had their struggles, just as we have our struggles. But because they represent love to us, or they should represent love to us, what happens is they become a filter that we look through when we are trying to understand what God the Father is like. And the filter of our parents is a very, very strong thing that affects the way we experience life. And so what happens is, because we haven't been loved in the way we needed to be loved, simply because, you know, our parents weren't loved in the way they needed to be loved, and our grandparents weren't loved in the way they needed to be loved, you know, what happens is that our expectation and our experience of love is distorted. And so our expectation becomes that God, the Father, will be to us like our parents have been to us. And so we live with this filter. And I think very often we're unaware of it, that there's this filter. And you know what filters are like? I've got different lights in my room and they've got different filters on. And some of the filters are quite thick and they distort the light in quite a strong way. Some of the filters are quite thin and let more of the light through. You know, it's like that. The filters can be different thicknesses, if you like, for different people. And the distortion, it can be different depending on how invasive that filter is. And so what happens is we see God the Father through the filter of our parents, and our view of him is distorted. And what needs to happen is that filter needs to be removed so that we can see God for who he is. Now, the filter operates in a number of ways. So, for example, if we had an angry earthly father or an angry earthly mother, we assume that God will be angry with us. And so our life then becomes motivated by fear and the threat of punishment for bad behavior. And so we fear God because we believe that he is going to punish us for all the things we've done wrong or for not living rightly. And so that puts a lot of pressure on us. If our parents have been controlling or manipulative, that leads us, you know, we think God expects performance and striving from us, you know, that we've got to hit the level, hit the mark. And it all becomes about achievement. Of course, if we've had absent parents for whatever reason, we think God is distant. We think God is angry. And so we end up living in an independent way where we take on the blame and the shame and the guilt of all of our actions. Of course, another father that we can have, and it's still a real filter, is we can have good parents. We can have a good father, a good mother. And, you know, we can often, I've talked to people who say, oh, my parents were wonderful. You know, they were not angry. They were not absent. They were not controlling. They were good. However good they've been. And I think there's good in every parent. Of course, there's good in every parent. No one is as good as God. And the thing I've discovered with people who have good parents is they actually have a struggle to let go of their dependence on their parents and to put that dependence onto their Heavenly Father. And so the filter is still there, but it behaves in a very, very different way. And, you know, I really believe that once we see these filters, we can just, again, it's turning our gaze to the Father and saying, Father, will you remove those filters? Will you show me who you are? Will you reveal your real self to me? That I, you know, it's like Paul prays in Ephesians, that the eyes of our heart would be opened so that we would know him better, so that we would get to know who God really is, and that we would begin to believe what he says about us rather than what we've believed of other people saying about us. Because what other people say about us has a huge stronghold and influence in our life. And we need to turn that voice off and listen to the voice of the Father who says, I love you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I'm proud of you. We hear that voice of affirmation. So our parents are big in our lives. Of course they are. And, you know, we need to honor our mother and father. But we also need to recognize that sometimes they have caused us to see a distorted view of God to some degree or another. But as we recognize that, we can just get the filters out of the way and see him for who he is. Another hindrance, and I'm sorry if I'm going fast through these because I realize I'm covering a lot of ground, but what I really want to do is just raise these as issues so that we can clear them out of the way and enable our hearts to be free, because that's what the Father wants. He wants us to be free. He wants you and me to be free. And so another big hindrance to receiving love is shame. Shame is the feeling of humiliation or distress that is caused by our consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. You know, it's the humiliation caused by our awareness of our own failings. And you know, come on, that can be a big, big thing. I think sometimes we are more, if you're like me, we are more aware of our failings than other people are. You know, of course, other people see our failings, but we are aware of them, aren't we? You know, we are aware when we get it wrong. We are aware when we fail. We are aware when we let God down. And it's like this thing grows in us. And what we try and do is what Adam and his wife did in the garden, is they try and we're exposed and we try and cover it. We try and cover that nakedness, that exposure with fig leaves. And so we grab the nearest thing. I'm sure Adam and his wife grabbed the nearest plant, and it was fig leaves. They just grabbed the nearest thing, tried to cover themselves as fig leaves. They didn't do a very good job about it. But what they're trying to do is hide their failings. And that's what we try and do. We try and hide our failings, either through working hard or trying harder, or just more and more driven. And the thing I've noticed about shame is there are three things that that are tied in with shame. One is, and these are things we try to do in order to cover the shame and to deal with the shame in our lives. The first one is, I need to have more. The second is, I need to be more. And the third is, I need to do more. And we think if we can do those three things, you know, have more, be more, and do more, we think if we can do that, we can deal with a shame in our heart. The trouble is, what that leads us to be is it leads us to become defined by the something more that we always feel we have to do. And that's exactly the place that the rich young ruler was in. Rich young ruler in Mark's gospel comes to Jesus and says, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? And Jesus says, you know what to do, just obey the law. And this man says, I've done that. Since I was a little boy, I've fulfilled the requirements of the law. What more do I have to do? And when we live a shame-based life, that's the driving question in our hearts. I've done everything. I've tried to do everything right. It's not satisfied the deepest longing in my heart. It's not brought me peace. I'm still frustrated. What more have I got to do? And we realize that we can never have enough. We can never be enough. And we can certainly never do enough. And so we just grab this blanket of shame and we pull it over us and we wrap ourselves up in this blanket of shame and we try and hide. Shame, huge, 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 huge. But it's the way an orphan tries to deal with his brokenness. Because, you know, what an orphan does is puts the fallen self on display and is very aware that the orphan is projecting himself as a mess. And we've all done it, and we all do it, and we've all been there, and we'll probably be there again. But we put our fallen self on display. And of course, that just makes us even more and more guilty and more under the weight of condemnation. Shame is huge. We can't possibly begin to deal with that, even in a full session of the webcast. But I just want to say to you that if that's a feeling that you have, then there's another voice. And it's the voice of the Father. It's the voice of affirmation that speaks into your heart and says, my son, my daughter. In fact, I believe that if the Father calls you by name, he doesn't say my son, he says Mark, Barry, I love you. I love you. You are my son, I'm proud of you. And I believe we need to hear those words every day. I need to hear those words every day. I need to hear those words several times each day. You know, and I believe we can come to the Father and say, Father, would you just speak those words to me again? You know, we just need to get ourselves into a quiet place for a few moments and say, Father, I can feel that blanket of shame gripping me. I can feel the burden of that condemnation. Father, will you just speak your words of affirmation? Because those words of affirmation from the Father are powerful. They will unlock your heart. They will set you free from the deepest shame that you carry and that you bear. Because the Father does not want you to carry shame. He does not want you to live under shame. John 16:26 or 27 it is. Jesus says, the Father himself loves you. He likes you. Just get him to speak those words of affirmation into your heart. Shame is a huge hindrance. And those three things, I need to have more, I need to be more, I need to do more. They are so subtle. That they get hold of us and they drive us, and all we do is the weight of shame is so heavy. You know, I know what it's like, you know what it's like. It's a heavy, heavy, wet blanket, and it destroys us, it steals our freedom. But I want to say to you that you can be free of shame. You can be free of shame. Because the Father's love for you is greater than any shame you might feel. And I just want to encourage you to take time, even right now, or even at the end of this webcast, or maybe tomorrow in your quiet times, just say, Father, will you speak those words of affirmation into my heart? My next hindrance is another big one, I'm afraid. It's fear. Fear paralyzes us. I believe fear is the opposite of love. Fear builds barriers, causes us to hide. In the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, this is before the fall. Before the fall, Adam and his wife were naked and they knew no shame. They were naked and unashamed. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 10, just a few verses later, they're naked and afraid. And we know what's happened in those 10 verses, those few verses. They've taken the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They've eaten it together and suddenly they are aware of their nakedness. They are afraid and they go and hide. See, the implication of those, that contrast is they had no shame and they had no fear. But suddenly they're afraid. And what's caused that fear is they've lost that innocence of being unashamed. And in that moment of taking that fruit, they've become ashamed and they've become afraid and they've hidden. Shame always takes us into fear. And what fear does is fear prevents us from living in the wide open space that the Father wants us to live in. Job 36 verse 16, I've brought you into a wide open space, free of restriction, to a table set with choice food. See, that's the Father's heart. He wants to lead us out of a place of restriction and he wants to set us in a wide open space. And he wants to put a table of comfort laden with good things in front of us. And he wants us to say, he wants to say to us, this is your place to enjoy. And I'll tell you what, I've begun to experience that wide open space, and I am not going back into the place of restriction. And when anything grabs hold of me, and when I recognize it, and when I see that I'm being drawn back into that place of restriction, I want to do everything I can in order to pursue that wide open space, that place of freedom, because that's what the Father wants. And fear paralyzes us, it grips us, and it makes us ineffective. I really believe that if fear is one of Satan's biggest tools, if he can grip us with fear, he stops us being effective. He stops us living in that sonship and expressing the love that we carry to the world, because we're held in a prison of fear. We live a restricted life. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 12, Paul says to the Corinthians, we've spoken freely to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. And so often things crowd into our lives and we allow fear to rule. And fear, let me tell you, fear is the absolute opposite to sonship. It says in 1 John chapter 4 that perfect love drives out all fear. Not some fear, but all fear. Love and fear cannot exist together. And I want to just encourage you that if you know there's fear in your life, just keep coming and asking for love. Yeah, I know in my own life, I prayed a lot about things that I was fearful of. And I got other people to pray for me to, you know, see that fear go. And you know what? It was successful in part. And it worked in part. But when I began to make love my greatest aim, when I began to make love my goal, when I, 19 years ago it is now, when I started to live in love, when I heard James and Denise at that conference in Toronto, and I all I can say is I had a baptism of love, into love. And that started me on this journey, and I ain't going back. What I realized months down the road, years down the road, the things that I'd feared didn't have the grip they used to have. I hadn't prayed about them. No one else had prayed about them. I just carried on focusing on being filled with love. And I want to tell you, that's the best way to get rid of fear. Whatever your fear is, if it's a fear of spiders, if it's a fear of the dark, if it's a fear of illness, if it's a fear of poverty, if it's a fear of sickness, if it's a fear of death, if it's a fear of car accidents, if it's a fear of losing someone you love, whatever the fear is, the antidote, the answer is to say, Father, will you fill me with your love? Because every fear is real to you. What you fear is absolutely real. It might not be a problem for the next person. It might not be an issue for your husband or your wife or your best friend, but it's real for you. And don't let anybody tell you it's not. And the only, you know, people tell you to face your fears. Well, the only way to face your fears is to say, Father, fill me with your love, because perfect love drives out all fear. And I will promise you, because I know this from my own life, that when you walk the pathway of love and being loved and receiving love, then fear has to go. Fear and love cannot exist together. And so whatever your fears are, just bring them to the Father. Again, don't focus on the fear. If you look at the fear, it's blooming negative. It's crippling. It sucks you back into the place of restriction. And like with all these other hindrances, my simple encouragement is, don't look at the hindrance, but look at the Father. Because when you look at the Father, you're looking at the source of life, and you're looking at the one who wants your heart to be free, and you're looking at the one who says, you are the object of my love. I love you. You know, when you're looking this way and you're waging war on your fear or your shame, you can't hear that voice of love. So I just encourage you to turn and say, Father, here I am, just love me. So we've talked about a few big hindrances, you know, looking in the wrong place, the role our parents play, shame, fear. We've got another big one, the hindrance of unforgiveness. Now we could spend a day on this. But unforgiveness is a huge barrier to receiving love. Unforgiveness closes our heart, and a closed heart can't receive. But forgiveness releases, it releases other people, but more importantly, it releases ourselves. And, you know, we know the story in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 25, that Jesus tells of the king and the servant. Now, in this story, it is the king who does the forgiving. And he tells this story, Jesus tells this story in response to a question from Peter. Peter comes to him and says, Jesus, my brother is driving me mad. Andrew is just getting up my nose. How many times do I have to forgive that idiot? And Jesus says, it's not about how many times. It's what's going on in your heart. And he says, if you want to understand what forgiveness is like, let me tell you the story. He said there was a king who was owed a lot of money, and the servant who owed him the money couldn't repay the debt. And so the king had him brought in, and he says, you owe me a lot of money, you can't pay, go to prison. And the servant says, no, you know, I've got a wife and children, I can't pay, I can never pay, it's too much, there's nothing I can do to ever pay. And the king looks at this servant and says, okay, I'll let you off. And the reason the king lets him off is because he has compassion and pity. He feels sorry for the servant and he says, I know I'm not going to get the debt paid. I'm prepared to let it go. I'm prepared to write it off because I want you to go free. And he does that, and the servant goes free. The king, of course, remains free. But that same servant goes out, finds another servant who owes him money. And he grabs him by the throat. And he says, pay me back, pay me back, pay me back. And the other servant says, I can't do it. And the first servant has him thrown into prison. He deals with that second servant completely the opposite way to the way he's just been dealt with by the king. King hears about it, gets him back in and says, you wicked servant. And what the king does is he says, because you didn't forgive, I'm going to put you in prison yourself. You're going to prison, mate, because you didn't forgive your fellow servant. See, what that first servant did, he had his fellow servant by the neck. He wouldn't count the cost. He wouldn't recognize the fact that he's never going to get it back. He wouldn't let it go. And he just held on to this other servant saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. And the king says, you're going to be a prisoner because of that. And that's what Jesus says heart forgiveness is like. Heart forgiveness is recognizing that there's a debt that can never be repaid. It's, and this is the hardest one, it's asking for compassion and pity for the person who committed the wrong. And it's being prepared to let them go. The servant couldn't do it, but the king could. And for us, that's a very, very simple presentation of what heart forgiveness is. You know, there are wrongs that have been done to us that can never be put right. And it's like we want to, and human nature, come on. We want to grab hold of that person who's wronged us, and we want to get them by the neck, and we want to squeeze the life out of them. And if they're not going to pay, they're going to die. You know, we want to... Jesus says, no, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is recognizing that there's no way on earth, no way on earth that the wrong that's been committed can be put right. And they need to be let go. But the only way they can be let go is when we ask for compassion and pity and sorrow. And we say, because of that compassion, I'm going to let you go. The point is, if we don't behave like the king, we'll behave like that first servant, and we will end up in the prison of unforgiveness. It's a huge barrier to receiving love. And I know that some of the issues that we talk about when we talk about forgiveness are deep. They are massive. They are deeply painful. We've been incredibly wounded, maybe when we were children, maybe yesterday. But we know that those actions of other people have created a deep, deep pain in our heart. And I know just talking about unforgiveness in these few moments is just the beginning. What I don't want you to do is sink under condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And my friends, we are in Christ. What you may have seen tonight, today, is that there's an area of unforgiveness in your heart. That's the first step. That's the most important step, is recognizing that something's happened. And then the next step is to recognize that you've lost something and that you're never going to get it back. And then the hard bit. And it is difficult. I acknowledge that. It's asking for compassion in order to let it go. That's heart forgiveness. And if we can do that, we are free. And so, you know, just raising it as a hindrance is not to go under condemnation. It's to say, folks, we can be free. Folks, I've had unforgiveness in my heart for years, but, you know, then I let it go and I feel the lightness in my spirit. I feel a freedom and I think, oh, thank you, Father. And then I do the next school and then something else comes up and I'm back to the beginning. But, you know, I am learning to forgive quickly. I really believe my mum taught me that. My dad was killed in a car accident when I was 10. My mum always taught us four kids to forgive. She taught us to forgive the driver of the other car who was in the wrong. And he took something big from us. He took my mum's husband. He took our dad. He took something huge. We can never get it back. But my mum showed us the path of forgiveness, because she forgave. And she showed us how to forgive. And I really want to be a person who makes forgiveness my habit. I believe that's the heart of the Father. And I think we can learn to forgive quickly, because it sets us free. And I want to be free, and I want you to be free, and we want to be free. So all of these hindrances, they stem from the orphan heart. They stem from the fact that we're not living as sons and daughters. And Cain killed his brother, Genesis chapter 4. God comes to him and says, Cain, what have you done? And Cain says, me, I haven't done anything, you know, I'm not my brother's keeper. And God says to Cain, because of what you've done, you will become a restless wanderer on the face of the earth. That's the heart of an orphan, a restless wanderer. And to be honest, folks, we see that in our own heart, don't we? We see the restlessness in our own heart. See, when we're restless, there's always something more we have to do in order to feel loved, valued, or accepted. We've got no name, no identity, no inheritance. Everything is dependent on the work of our hands. And so we punish ourselves, we beat ourselves up, and we step out of the kingdom of love into the kingdom of fear, into the kingdom of striving, into the kingdom of performance. We lose sight of God's plan, that we were made for his pleasure. We were made in his image. We were made to enjoy the unity of the Trinity. We lose sight of all of that, and we end up in this lonely walk of independence and pride. We become on our own. We end up living, embracing the fallen nature of Satan. And we know the way of an orphan is empty. But there's a promise in Scripture that we know well, John 14, verse 18, where Jesus says to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you fatherless. I will come and be a father to you. It's the promise of the Father. And it's so very easy to recognize the orphan ways in our heart. It's easy to recognize the orphan ways in other people as well. But that's called judgment, and that comes from the wrong tree. But we need to look into our own hearts. And it's easy to see the orphan ways. They stare us in the face. But there's a promise. I've just read it out. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And we have this promise of the Father coming and pouring his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have the promise in John 17, verse 26, of Jesus going on revealing the Father to us. It's the complete work of the Trinity. He hasn't left us as orphans. He hasn't left us in that restless state. See, when we come to rest, when we live in a place of rest, there is nothing more we need to do in order to know that we're loved, valued, or accepted. See, when we're an orphan, when we're restless, we're always trying to find me. What more is there? But when our heart comes home to that place of rest, we know that there is nothing more we need to do, because it's all been done. And so if you recognize orphan ways in your heart, just ask the Father to be a father to you. Ask that. See, he already is a father to you. It's just that we need the greater revelation and realization of the truth. We need the eyes of our heart to be opened so that we can see and experience him being a father to us. All of these things, all of these hindrances I've mentioned, very, very briefly, they cause us to have a closed heart. Like Adam, the eyes of our heart become closed, and we live from the wrong tree, the tree of judgment of right and wrong, rather than seeking life. And Paul prays in Ephesians 1 that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the holy saints. See, Paul prays that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, he just happens to be the glorious Father, I'm praying that the Father himself will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that spirit of wisdom and revelation is that we would get to know him better, that we would have the eyes of our heart open to see who he really is. The Father gives us the very thing that we need to enable us to see him better. And not only to see him better, but we begin to understand the glorious inheritance in the saints. We understand who we are. That's good news. That's good news. And what we end up doing is we end up beginning to see who he is rather than what he does. Many, many people see what God does, but not everybody sees who he is. And I believe as we deal with some of these hindrances, we begin to see who he is. And that is so much better than seeing what he does. Of course, we close our heart to protect it. And what we do is we keep love out and fear in. As we open our heart, we let fear out and we let love in. And like Job says at the end of his story, Job 42 verse 5, Job says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And I believe we come to that place where we say, yes, God, I know all about you, but now I've seen you. Father, I have seen you. My eyes, the eyes of my heart have seen who you are. You see, our Father's heart is that we should be free. And that's what getting rid of these hindrances is all about, is being free. And I want to encourage you this evening, I'm going to bring Barry back on in a minute. I want to encourage you this evening to surrender to the love of the Father. Surrender to love. Make your safe place his open arms. Make your safe place his love for you. I encourage you to surrender to the love of the Father and to allow him to be a father to you.
Well done, matey. It's a lot. It's a lot, but it's so powerful because, again, you know, like when you were saying, if anybody, it's kind of like a rhetorical question or an obvious question when we say, who wants to be free, right? Every person on the webcast, I want to be free, you want to be free. And it's like the things that hinder us are the things that, you know, keep us from experiencing the complete freedom, right? So mm-hmm. it really, you know, I think it's a really positive thing. Like you said, it's not to kind of get into this navel gazing and, you know, we're just trying to figure out what's wrong, but we're, it's just like, it's, but it's an opportunity for us to become free.
Yeah.
Because it is for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. So yeah, way to go. That was really good.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Let's just take a few moments, shall we, to receive.
Yeah.
That's what the Father wants. He wants us free. Let's just,
yeah.
Throw off, Hebrews says, throw off everything that hinders. And, you know, we do that by setting our eyes on Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He reveals the Father. So, yep. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we set our eyes on you.
Yeah.
Father, we turn our back on all those hindrances. We turn our back on those things that so easily entangle us. Mm. And we put our eyes, our gaze on you, Father. Yeah. And whilst we may recognize that some of these hindrances are pretty big, we know, Father, that you're bigger and you're better and you're more loving because you are perfect love. And so, Father, we just turn our gaze to you and we say, Father, would you pour your love into our hearts? Mm. May we experience the reality of what you're doing, of what you do every moment of every day.
Yeah.
Father, may we experience the reality of being loved. Thank you, Jesus, that you said you wouldn't leave us fatherless, but you would come and be a father to us. That's what we want, Father. We want our fear, we want our shame. We want all those filters to be dealt with. We just want all the stuff that's in the way to go so that we can just walk freely and lightly. Thank you, that's what you say you'll do. You'll teach us to live freely and lightly. And we do that because we've had a revelation of who you are. Father, may the eyes of our heart be opened. Father, thank you that you give us the very thing that we need to enable us to see who you are. The glorious Father. That's who you're revealing yourself as, the glorious Father. So Dad, we just receive your love into our heart now. Thank you, Father.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Father, that it's for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free.
Yeah.
It's for the love of freedom. You just want us to be free, and we just pray that, that there would be hope that would just be come to each one of us, Father, that, you know, for anyone who has felt discouraged and felt like helpless in their own circumstances. Father, I pray for a greater revelation of the great exchange. Jesus gave his life for our life. He has given us beauty for our ashes, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the oil of joy for mourning, and a double portion of our inheritance for in exchange for our shame. Father, would we just be able to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith? Wow. So that we would see that it would be just easy to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily trips us up, and just so that we can run the unique race set out for us. We thank you, Father, that you are with us every step of the way. Jesus, I always picture Jesus at the end of my lane, cheering me on, saying, "You can do it." And yes. I just picture the Father with me, running with me, and the Holy Spirit is the wind behind my back, saying, "You can do it. I'm with you. I believe you." And Father, I just pray for that sense of strengthening to come to your kids tonight. I pray for that sense of encouragement to come, that we are not alone, left to our own devices, but we have the resources of heaven. Wow. That are committed to our freedom, committed to this revelation of love, committed to seeing us be who you created us to be, the good works that you prepared in advance for us to do, because we are your workmanship. So Abba, we just thank you for that. And we just believe, thank you that he who has begun a good work in us will continue to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It's your work in us. But Father, just help us to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit today. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Abba.
Thank you, Father. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for being with us. Once again, the video will be online tomorrow. And we look forward to welcoming you next week. We have no idea what we're doing, but we'll be doing something. So, bless you all. Thank you very much. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Bye.